Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we are joined by Elvi Bantug, an accomplished AVP for ICT at Han Resorts. Elvi stands out as a visionary in information technology management. With over a decade of experience, Elvi has made significant strides in the hospitality industry, notably contributing to the grand openings of major casino hotels in Macau, Singapore, and the Philippines. Her expertise in implementing cutting-edge AI software and cognitive technology showcases her commitment to innovation in the quickly evolving IT sector. At Han Resorts, Elvi oversees the Information and Communication Technology Department, skillfully managing both daily operations and strategic decisions. She collaborates effectively with partners to foster a robust team environment, providing new contacts and leads while ensuring exceptional service to clients. Elvi uses her profound knowledge to play pivotal roles in delivering cost-effective, streamlined solutions. Her mission is to spearhead ICT innovation and excellence in hospitality, building enduring client relationships along the way. I've asked her to join us here today to share her story, plus help us all navigate towards a more tech-friendly future. So Elvi, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Daryl. Good morning. Good morning to all your listeners. Thank you for inviting me to your platform.
Yes, it's great to have you here. And I'm excited to talk about the tech future and the different ways tech is changing our lives and innovating how people do business. But before we get into that, I wanted to ask, how did you even get into this? Is this like a family trade? Is this something when you were a little girl, you were trying to figure out coding and programming and stringing together APIs and computers? Like what? Where's it come from?
Not at all. To be honest, I'm a Bachelor of Accountancy graduate. Before I ventured into information and technology, I was an accountant of one of the commercial banks in the Philippines. Mm. It so happened that they need somebody that has background in accounting knowledge to convert a manual accounting system to an electronic accounting system for the bank. And basically, I volunteered to spearhead that project. So from a manual banking system to automated banking system, integrating it to our back office, that's where my exposure to information technology started. And I was able to successfully implement that project. And having an accountant in every branches, I was able to save the company some money. We've centralized the whole accounting process into our head office, three branches into one. So I didn't know if I earned enemies there because some of the accountants has to be displaced and be assigned to other functions because it became 3:1, 4:1, depending how big the branch is. After successfully implementing that CASA GL interface, that's where my technology exposure happened.
So what happened then? You're still doing this and now you're working with AI. That's a long way.
Yeah. So from the back, I moved out to be a consultant, information technology consultant, implementing ERP solutions for a company. So
what's the acronym for people that aren't aware?
ERP, Enterprise Resource Planning. So basically it's a financial HR solution. An end-to-end platform that offers financial systems and human resources systems. So I was a part of the technical consultant there doing pre-selling and implementation. So implemented some ERP solutions for big companies, and after which I was exposed to the ERP solutions that the gaming company uses, which is in Macau. So I was hired there as a consultant first, and then eventually converted into a full-time employee managing and assisting their ERP platform.
Got it. Is this a productivity thing? Is this improve clarity and insights into like business intelligence, the activities of the business, capacity utilization? Like what, for people that aren't really sure, that aren't in this field, what's the value that doing this work gives to the business? Why is it important? What problem does it help solve?
But it's really very important to have a mature enterprise resource planning solutions for every company. An ERP basically automates the accounting system. So the book recording, the generation of the financial statements, and the operation analysis, where you could basically generate reports based on the business performance. Are you earning? Are you losing? You are also able to man data for your HR system. So automating and having a single source of truth for all your employee data, for all your time and attendance system, so you'll be able to gauge, and also your scheduling and rostering solutions. You'll be able to roster, especially for a casino industry where scheduling is very specific, because for a gaming system, for a gaming environment, you have to roster employees on the table based on their skill sets, based on the number of component, like one supervisor per four tables, for one dealer per table. So those kind of stuff. And not to mention, you have to provide right people in the right table based on their skill sets. So we need to make sure that their proficiency, for example, in a baccarat game, VIP has higher requires higher proficiency than a mass table. So we need to make sure that we put the right people at the right table. And that's how an automated scheduling system works. So imagine managing 1,500 employees, rostering them on a table, and rostering them based on demand, based on schedule. You need a robust system to be able to do that. So
and
that's
you also need to have feedback loops so you can stay on top of who is better than who, right? Because it's more than just shows up to work. It's actual performance, customer satisfaction, I imagine, winning, that sort of stuff. So this is this something that gets custom built from the ground up? Is this something that typically strings together multiple pieces of equipment?
Usually what we do is buy out of the box solution or a white label solution, because this would be more faster to implement rather than developing it from scratch, because of the logic that goes behind the scheduling system, the logic that goes behind how you want to interpret your time in attendance, your overtime, the different rules that you need to preset prior to you going live. So most of the projects that I manage are really multi-million project for integrated resorts that manages thousands of employees.
And you,
so, yeah.
I was going to say, you've been doing this for a lot. Like you've been doing we're doing basically information technology, integrating these services for a lot of different companies. What are some of the biggest sticking points into getting this kind of thing up and going?
I think you need to be very well aware of what's the latest technology out there to be able to provide the business stakeholders options. So what we do when we do project management and project implementation is that we help business choose the right solution. By doing so, we basically help them choose the product that best fits your requirement, and also in terms of financial investment, competitive analysis, basically, that's what we do. So we gather the business requirements from the different stakeholders. What are the core requirements that they need? We tender this out, or we seek engagement of the different vendors. And then we ask them to provide a product demo to the business stakeholders, and then do a financial analysis, an ROI analysis, and then that's where the decision making happens. We make sure that they choose the best product that fits their requirements, and as well as the best financial investment for the company. It should always be a win-win situation for the company.
It doesn't make sense to lose money switching, and especially often when you switch or set up these systems, you really get married to them. And you have to be aware of that, because maybe you can speak to this because you've been doing this for a number of years. Sometimes you get married to a software that becomes redundant in surprising ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then overhaul. Have you ever had to overhaul and start over from scratch?
Okay. There are cases where I came in and the system is already in place. So there are cases that they wanted to replace the product because after using it, they find out that it's not fit to their requirements, or some functionalities are missing and it's difficult to grow. Then that's where our expertise comes in. We help them basically vet the different products, evaluate the different products and solutions that would best fit their requirements. And that is also a waste of money for the company because you basically have to throw out your initial investment
right.
of the initial product, right?
We like to say that you bought data. The data was, you made a bad decision, but money mistakes are some of the best mistakes to make because you can always go and make more money.
In the industry like ours, that's part and parcel of revenue. You have to invest in information technology to boost your revenue, right? In the casino industry, you need a robust business intelligence tool to help marketing team make sure that they use the right promotion, that they target or market to the right people at the right time. All these components are required for you to basically boost your revenue. Without business intelligence tool, how are you going to do data mining? It's going to be very difficult for them, right? So information technology plays a vital role in making sure that you put there solutions that will help the stakeholders generate revenue for the company.
Yeah, I was interviewed for a close friend of mine. He's got an audience, 8,000. His business has about 8,000 subscribers. He is a software as a service company. And we did a video for his audience. And we were talking about the power of properly, you mentioned the right message for the right person. Now you talked about it in terms of boosting revenue. But if for a lot of people, unless we aren't enterprise level businesses, not everything is a sales event, but everything is a relationship event. And so there's getting the right message to the right person to make a sale, but also to make a meaningful connection. So I mentioned that I had a CRM. I'm just a teachable moment, I think, for the listeners. I had a martial arts school before, and I had created lots of different autoresponders. For those that don't know what an autoresponder is, it's not the auto reply, like I'm out of office, I'll be back in a week. It is like a scheduled series of emails someone goes into, and they get email one, and then there's a delay timer for however long, and then they get the next email, and then there's a delay. And some of these are really sophisticated where it becomes a choose your own adventure, where you send email one. If they click it, they go to on this track. If they don't click it, then in 2 days, they get the next email. And I had set up a thing, and I had internal web form. So we've all filled out a form on a website. I had one for staff of my martial arts school to do every class. And it would restart a timer. Restart a timer that the student had come to class today. And then basically what happens, we had a series of 36 standalone, we miss you, come back, like emails. And if the student hadn't been to class in a week, they would start getting these emails. And then when they came back and that form was filled out with their name in it again, it would pause it. And that was one example. Another thing on that form at class is if there had been an injury, the staff were instructed to check a checkbox and to put what was injured in the field. And the syntax was your blank, your knee, your back, your finger, your toe, your whatever, your ear. And I had a 3 year long follow-up email series for that. It wasn't every day. It wasn't every month. I think there was an 8 month gap. Couple of times in there. First thing is just like a 1 week little email series on how to manage injuries because it's a martial arts school, right? What kind of injuries you take care of yourself? What kind of injuries you need to speak to a doctor to? 3-4 emails over 10 days, whatever. And then gaps and then check-ins. And I remember I got an email from a student because it's 3 years long. He said, bro, I haven't been to your gym for a year. And you messaged me asking about how my knee is. You are the greatest coach ever. And that was this email he got. It was like, hey, name. I was watching a movie tonight and the main character hurt his merge field, hurt his bike. How are you doing? It made me think of you. How are you? And that's the care that you wanted to be able to take of people, right? I wish I was that on top of the ball. I could take care and really care about people in their personal situations like that. And that's a simple example. I do something similar. As we mentioned at the beginning of the call, I have interest in multiple businesses. And one of them, do you know RFM, receive frequency monetary value?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, recency, frequency, monetary value is a way of, if I want to go see a movie with someone, the best person to ask is the person I saw a movie with yesterday. Do you want to go see another movie again today? The worst person to ask is someone I saw a movie with 5 years ago, because it was so long ago, I don't even know if they see movies anymore. And so that's the recency. Frequency is how many times has something happened. And then monetary value is how much they've spent, or in different instances, the level of the commitment, so to speak. And it's a way of organizing database and lists and segmenting groups to have a different kind of conversation. If I, taking a gym example again, just I'm expanding on your point about how you need IT to boost revenue. For a gym owner operator, you need a lot of staff to track. You have a gym with 200, 300 members. It's a lot of people. I forget who did. There's somebody did a study where it's like the average person can hold 150 contacts in their head. That's the limit to how many relationships that we can have. Everybody else just fades, disappears into the ether, so to speak. And with that many members, you want to be on top of everybody. You want to be able to give everyone a personal relationship. Someone hasn't been to your gym for a month. Are they going to continue to pay their membership? So it's a different conversation than the one you would have with someone that came 2 days ago. And so you talk about data mining and having this stuff. This is a way, we're cyborgs right now. You and I are talking from different parts of the country, and we're not using, using my biological self to talk into this electronic thing that's condensing my voice into ones and zeros, sending it over there where it's coming out of speakers. So I think that's an important thing. How do you process and figure out what the requirements are? Like, is there, because this seems like a fairly all-encompassing thing. Do you begin with mapping out the customer journey? And then how do you figure out all the pieces that come together?
Yeah.
It
really is a process, basically. So there's a series of multiple interviews that needs to happen. For first and foremost is to know their existing processes, to understand how they're doing things. And then next is documenting what their future need is, what needs to happen to change it from manual to automated. We document that. And then next step is to write it into a business requirement document type and share that to the vendors that potentially can serve the requirements and do multiple product demo to the business. Business, one thing, they appreciate it visually rather than theoretically. Even if you write a very good business requirement document, they would still like to see the product, have it demo to them, ask questions, and from there, they help in the evaluation process. And then that's where things goes. And after multiple demos, and then the selection process happens, that is a collaboration on between stakeholders and IT. We do the technical evaluation. We need to make sure that the system is future-proof, that there's a roadmap, because we don't want to get stuck with an application that doesn't grow. So we need to make sure that the vendor has a roadmap to their solution as well. And also the technology being used is not outdated or not obsolete. We assist on the technical side, they assist on the functionality side, and then we marry those, and then we select the best product for the company.
So let me say this back. First off, you interview them multiple times to map out their existing processes. How does everything happen from, and it's, I don't know about, and correct me if I'm wrong, I usually begin with the customer journey and then the systems that support that. I don't know if that's, is that?
Yeah, it's part and parcel of a whole initial.
Right. So we map out what is the typical customer journey, what are the processes that support that, and then it sounds like you document that. Then you also ask about what the ideal would be, and then you take the ideal and the existing and you create a formalized plan where you outline, you mentioned requirements doc, this is what we need, this is what it should do, just to help formalize it, get it down, everything's clear. Then it sounds like you shop around for the closest to just a single out-of-the-box solution that would serve that need. Maybe you have to connect a couple of systems. It just depends on the business and what's available in their budget. And then they showcase multiple products. They demo them. It sounds like they're really big on the visuals and actually like test driving these things versus just getting in like a description of them. I think it's an important thing for note for people to take, anybody here, that if you're trying to get adoption, enterprise level adoption, I think that LV just dropped a big nugget here that they want to visually see it and test drive it. That's an important part of this process. And at the end, then obviously make a decision and move forward. Did I miss anything there? Or is that a relative high level overview?
That's relative. That's basically, you've got it. Nailed
would you
it.
recommend to someone who's either starting out or struggling, if they're a small or medium-sized business owner, they're not necessarily enterprise, but like what are the low-hanging fruit pieces that you think that they should look to perhaps automate first?
I guess usually they start with the back office because that's the repetitive part of the process. Like they book transactions, they book their sales, they book everything to be able to generate a financial statement, right? So start with their back office because at the end of the day, that would help them generate reports that would help them in the making the right decision at the right time. So if they know that their sale is weak on this area, or if their inventory is already low in this area, then they'll try to beef it up because reporting is a very important tool in making business decisions.
Yes. Yes, it is. We actually spent $50,000 to research all the research around the world, from Harvard Business Review to Indonesia, Thailand. What are all the academic studies saying are the critical success factors for success for small and medium-sized businesses? We identified eight critical success factors. One of them is business intelligence, which is exactly what you're talking about, the feedback loops for how you're doing, how things are performing, and having that in some sort of dashboard is a really important. I'm really condensing things here, but the business intelligence is so important. If you don't know how you're doing, if you have an incomplete data set, something could be gumming up the works and you're completely unaware of it. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is pain, suffering, and failure as the reality of it. It's bliss, maybe in a naive sense. So back office automations, everything that they would need to generate financials and track inventory or even around delivery of the product or service. Is that relatively accurate?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And then what? Okay, we've automated the accounting, automated tracking inventory. Would you recommend? I guess maybe it depends on the business. If they're heavily staffed in company, maybe then it's HR items. If they're
Yeah.
not, then maybe marketing and sales stuff.
Correct. If they have a lot of employees, they need to make sure that employee benefits reporting as well are because it boils down into a regulatory requirement as they would have to comply with labor law, right? DOLE for the Philippines. So they need to make sure that they're scheduling people based on the regulations of DOLE. And you can only do that through the automated system, make sure if especially if you're managing 1,000 or 100 of employees. And also part of the important aspect of organization is people. We need to make sure that we value our people by making sure that we know them, know their schedules, know their. There are a lot of things that are embedded into an HRIS system. It's not just employee database. There's a module there for performance management or what have you that basically helps employee grow with the company. So that's second thing that we need to, I think, as a business owner, have to put in place as well.
So back in automations, everything to generate financials, track inventory, HR, payroll, scheduling, and then it sounds like last comes the sales and marketing automation stuff.
Sometimes in an ERP solution, they already have embedded basic sales account receivable system because we also need to track the revenue, make sure that we collect on a timely manner. So it's,
That's payment process, not
yeah.
that's not onboarding new staff or
No, sorry. That's
activating old accounts. But yeah, sorry. I'm glad you've made that differentiation. One is, yeah, I noticed that when I first came to the Philippines that there weren't a lot of subscription type services here. There were ones that you could subscribe, but you'd have to go and pay. I think cell phones just started pushing that. I was really surprised with phones. Everybody here was like pay as you go. I felt like everybody here was on pay as you go for phones. But when I was in Canada, like everybody's on a 1 year contract and paying every month for their phone. It was like the exact opposite. Here it was kind of like pay for what you need. And there's all the different kind of packages. You top up your, they call it load here. For those that are in the Philippines, they call it load. And you load your phone and then you
yeah.
get data and you got minutes and then you use it and you get some more. And then you can do a 1 month package or a 7 day package or 1 day or 3 day, but you just get what you need. And then if you're going to be busier and stuff, then you I'm going to get a bigger package for the next week. And it was very almost like an as needed basis. You would just order it either right from your phone or you get like the old
Okay.
long. But now the phone companies, I think they've gotten wise and they've been doing a big promo to get everybody to sign up for the subscriptions, right? Because they put that every month. So I thought that was.
Being in the Philippines, right? It's basically a retail country. Everything is retail, from sachets of shampoo, sachets of conditioner, telco provider. You also top up based on your prepaid load, right? We
Right.
are a big retail consumers, basically.
Yeah.
Not, and even on the software side, there are already a lot of vendors that are offering software as a service, platform as a service, especially for small business companies, right, where they can't invest huge amount of money in their infrastructure. They don't have a data center. So what they end up doing is going through a software as a service platform. It's a cloud-based solution. You subscribe based on your, and you pay based on your consumption. It's also like a retail process. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I like saving. So I like that idea. In some ways, it's a bit of a hassle because then you leave the house. You're like, oh, I got no loan. I got no internet. And you're like, ah. And then you're stuck, but you fix it and you learn to plan ahead and it's not a big deal. Now, this is great, but where do you see things going? Like, what sort of skills and behaviors do you think companies need to walk into the future as new things are innovating so fast right now? How do we navigate that?
For hospitality industry like ours, the battle here is providing personalized service to your customers. And the only way for us to basically augment whatever platform that we have right now is moving through AI, where it basically has the intelligence to propose offers, to propose the restaurant, to propose menus, or to propose the hotel booking to the client right there when they're interacting with your platform. That's one thing that hospitality industry needs to be engaged, especially providing a personalized service to your customers. Second is on embedding AI into your analytics as well, because there's already a platform that uses AI in your analytics, because it will also help churn out reports that would help marketing analysts or decision maker in terms of what promotions to choose and what new offerings to give to the clients. Especially in the casino, you need to make sure that you analyze your operation, what games are mostly used, what games are popular, and from there, you basically decide on the game mix on the floor. That's very important aspect when you're in the hospitality gaming industry. Top up, we need to also be aware of all the cybersecurity threats that is happening. And we have to beef up our infrastructure to basically secure our environment from all types of cyber threats. Because embedding internet into your infra, you're opening basically a Pandora box for people to come in, right? To make sure that you are safeguarding your assets very well by use of cybersecurity tool.
Yeah. Let's take the second and let everyone know, after this interview, back up your phone, back up your computer, update your passwords to be 16 characters using upper, lowercase letters, numbers, and symbols. And don't click links in strange emails. Don't let staff click strange links in strange emails. I have a friend, they had one of their staff got a phishing email and they clicked it and then their computer got taken over. And this guy just went to it and they went into their CRM and they had 100,000 buyers in there and they started exporting the 100,000 buyers. They uploaded an extra 30,000 buyers and then they started messaging the staff and stuff. They hacked the Instagram account for the company and it was all from one click from a staff that had login access to all these tools that they use. And so that's just for a minute, back everything up, folks. Back up your laptop, your phones, change your password. You need, with AI, I forget what it is. It's something ridiculous. It's if you have just using letters and numbers and you only have less than 11 characters, it'll be 3 minutes for AI to hack your password. It's just so stupid fast. You need
That is why it's important that you do multi-factor authenticate, enable that, not just a password. In part of the drive that we do is also cybersecurity awareness, sending notifications to all employees how to prevent phishing, how to prevent malware attacks, and also putting in place policies and procedures that would safeguard our environment. I know that they would have resistance, but if we explain to them where we're doing it, there would be adoption. It's really first time they would really resist because you're putting a stringent control into the environment. Right. But after explaining things to them where we're doing it, eventually they would adapt.
Yes, it takes time for people to adapt and get new to the new thing. But I think that's a really important thing. A lot of people, we want to think that everyone's good natured. I feel like I'm a good person. I don't want to do no harm. But there are psychopaths in the world, and it just takes one. And I feel like one psychopath, you always hear about these, I don't want to bring a negative energy, but you always hear about shocking things. It's like someone just did something for 10 years. It was horrific that they were able to operate that way. And part of how they did it was because no one could imagine someone would be such a psychopath. And that's why we study them and find them interesting, because people get caught unaware. And so the best thing, walk softly, but carry a big stick. Walk softly so you can step on others, but carry a big stick. And So let's talk a little bit more about the future. What does this mean as far as companies moving into the future? They have to take, like, even a dry cleaner now has to have some sort of app or a web presence, it seems, especially since the pandemic. Where do you see things being in 5 years, 10 years time? What should people be aware of that's on your radar?
Especially for hospitality industry, make sure that digitization process is part and parcel of your roadmap. We digitize things. Paper and pen are no more. It's in the past. Digitization, embedded workflow are what we need to do for back office and also for our customers, no? To serve them better. And also putting in place, like what I mentioned, make sure that they're updated with all the cyber threats that is around the world, basically. Because who knows, it might hit you hard, right? And information technology is ever changing. We just need to be abreast with what's happening, especially within the hospitality industry. We wanted to make sure that we basically use the products and services that would serve our customers better. I think it's always being on top of what's new and what's new to offer to our customers.
Yes, excellent. Maintaining and focusing on constantly providing the most excellent solution to whatever problem you solve, whether you provide that solution via a product or service, really get clear on the specific problem you're solving and for who mostly, and just focus on being the best at it. I think that is fantastic advice. Another tip that I just thought of is also, if you are doing business in a specific country or only a specific couple of countries, shutting off traffic to your web properties from anywhere outside those countries is also another actually relatively effective form of protection. It's something to consider. Everybody wants to be open and available for everyone. But if you're, again, we talk about the dry cleaner, you don't need people in Uzbekistan coming to your website. Things like that can actually also provide another layer of protection where you can just shut off traffic and make your site only visible in certain geographic locations or countries. You may not want to shut yourself off the whole country, but something to think.
In some of the applications that we are introducing, we need to do geofencing, right?
Yes.
We only basically put restrictions that this particular website is only accessible within the Philippine region. That's very doable with all the security tool in place right now. So that's also, thanks for mentioning that. That's also part and parcel of some of the cyber security that we're using.
Yeah. Elvi, this has been a great call. I've got a bunch of notes. I do want to be respectful of your time. Is there anything I haven't asked you yet that I should have asked you?
I think you basically touched base on all the important aspects. being running an information technology division, right? Just one thing to notice that technology is technology. It's people that you need to basically manage technology. So you have to protect your people as well. Even if you have the best tool, but you don't have the driver of those tools, it's useless, right? So you have to put high priority to your people. Make sure that they are also happy working for you and working for the company.
I agree. I love that. I love that. Alvy, if people have questions, if they want to learn more or want to get in touch, what are some of the best ways for them to reach out to you?
I have my LinkedIn and also my email address, and my Facebook is using the name that you've mentioned earlier. It's Alvy Bantu.
If people want to, you can go find her on Facebook or LinkedIn. Just search for Alvy Bantu.
Yep.
ElvyBantuG. That's
yes.
ElvyE, last name BantuG. B as in boy, BantuG. Take a look for her. You got the right one. If she's an information technology management out of the Philippines. Alvy, thank you so much for joining and sharing with us, knowing you have your own direct reports, your own projects, your own things going on. Thank you for coming and sharing with my audience tonight so we can all do a little bit better.
Thank you so much, Daryl, for the invitation. Enjoyed talking to you.